Love the music at Heritage Baptist Church. Amen. If you wouldn't, your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 3. And we have been getting lots of calls. This is the third Sunday in a row that I've gotten a call on Saturday that another church needed somebody to preach for them. And they weren't necessarily asking me. They're not asking me to preach. They said, hey, is somebody in the church who you could send to help us? And so my dad has got to preach a lot the last 3 weeks, and I told him, I'm his booking agent, I guess. And I know there's others in the church. I've also sent Brother Cox sometimes. I've sent others to help other churches when they need it here. But Dad, y'all pray for Dad as he's preaching this morning in Weatherford. He's preaching at, I forget the name of the church, honestly, but it's Brother J.C. House's son-in-law's church. What's the name of that church? Ambassador Baptist Church in Weatherford. And so he's preaching there this morning and tonight. Last Sunday, he preached for Brother Terry Terry. Brother Terry Terry called me Saturday night late and said, hey, I have COVID. And that's actually today, Brother, the pastor there at Ambassador has COVID today as well. And so all the preachers are doing well. But just anyway, so pray for Dad. I told him, I said, well, booking agent, what does he get? 10%, 15%, 20% of the love offering? I don't know. And so, but anyway, Philippians chapter 3. Our theme verse this year, of course, found in verse 13. As you, most of you know, especially this first service crowd, Philippians is my favorite book. So we'll look forward to this year of traversing back through some of this book and reminding and reviewing and looking at it. I really do think it's one of, in my opinion, one of the best books in the Bible, and really certainly one that would encourage you and strengthen you. It's a book about joy. Man, who wouldn't want to read about joy? How to have joy. And so, what a great book. Philippians chapter 3, look at let's start in verse 12. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And we'll spend more time in these four or five verses here. This morning we're going to kind of go back to, we actually preached on this a couple of years ago, these particular verses. And the theme or the thought here is, again, about a race. And I know that that continues the analogy from last year. The thought, again, is about pressing on. It's about going forward. And I think that's a great thought for today as we continue in this ever-present world of just confusion and doubt and fear. And I think the verse or the thought of pressing on is encouraging to me. I hope it's encouraging to you. Paul's telling them to press on. Look at verse 13 again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you would bless the message. God, would you help us again to think about, to contemplate the one thing, your Son Jesus. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned Sunday night, life can be and has become for most of us very, very busy. Very, very busy and very, very complicated. So there's so many things going on in the world today, so many events and so many obligations that pull us from one end to the other. I mean, I don't know about you, but there are multiple times in the week where I feel like I'm being pulled seven different directions, and I know that's the case for you as well. There's phone calls. In fact, most of the time I keep my phone on vibrate now, just so I just don't hear it constantly, all the time ringing. And I now have my little iWatch here, and it'll vibrate and tell me that I've gotten a call, and I can look really quick and see who's trying to get a hold of me and decide whether or not I'm going to return the call or not. None of y'all are that way, huh? Come on. Right? Get a text, whatever it may be, and you're deciding whether or not to. What is your, you know, what is your reaction? What are you going to do with that call or that phone call or that text, or we're all there. I mean, we're all there. All of us seemingly, again, pulled in so many different directions, whether it's emails or whether it's private messages or whatever it may be. Then we have the spouse, and we have the kids, and we have the shopping and the cooking and the yard work to do and the dishes and school and practices to get kids to, and on and on and on it goes. And we have the church, and of course I believe we put the Lord first, and the church should be a priority in our life, but sometimes the church also can be a part of that, just the complication of church and ministries and keeping up with everything, going to fellowship and events, giving, and conferences. We got the stewardship conference coming up this next Sunday with Brother House, and you know, just trying to make time and make provision for that and keep the priorities straight. All of these things we have to, and we work on, and we juggle everything. We juggle everything, and we juggle everyone, keeping up with everything, trying to keep up with priorities, trying to please everyone. I said this last Sunday night. I said, I'm a people pleaser. I've always been that way. This is my personality. I do have a laid-back personality. I can tell you, as I've gotten older, it's not as laid-back as it used to be. I find myself sometimes, especially when I get a little tired, I get a little, especially if I get tired and hungry at the same time, that's catastrophe. That's just problems waiting to happen. And so I've learned that as I've gotten a little older, but still very laid-back personality. I'm appreciative the Lord gave me the personality I have. I take after my dad a lot in that context, but I am a people pleaser. So I don't like when people don't like me. You know, I have a tendency over the years to go with the flow. I just rather not rock the boat. And so when I do rock the boat, it's because I make myself do that. I have to go against my personality in order to make some decisions that need to be made. And some of you over the years have watched me make decisions and just know that those things are very hard for me. If I'm doing something that's causing someone to not like me or it upsets me, I have a hard time with it. As I've gotten older and learned that this is the way that I am. By the way, there's a lot of you in here that are the same way. People pleasers are a large group of people, a large part of the representative human race. And there's some people who just don't care. We won't go into all the different types of personalities and whether you're type 1, type 2, or A, B, C, D, E, F, what animal you are. I've read the books. It's all good. But being a people pleaser, we find a lot of times that as a people pleaser, you get pulled a lot of different directions because you don't want to tell nobody no. And this goes for everybody. Everybody's in that boat, and we all find ourselves with too many irons in the fire. Being pulled too many directions. By the way, pleasing everyone is exhausting and impossible. It's impossible. You can't please everybody. There's no way. I love how some people say, well, preacher, you're the pastor, you're the boss. And, you know, but I have 500 bosses. There is no job where you don't have a boss. I love it. Some young person will say, well, I'm just going to start my own business and be my own boss. Go right ahead. You'll still have bosses. It's called clients. And I know there's some difference between that, but I'm just telling you, we all get pulled, and we all have this tendency to get too many irons in the fire, trying to please everybody. So what do we do? What do we do with this? And how do we cope with it? And what can we do about it? And I believe Paul here addresses it for us and helps us with it. Here Paul, from prison, is writing the church at Philippi. He's writing these Christians in the church at Philippi. He's encouraging them. And I, again, remind you that he never mentions anything about his predicament. He doesn't complain about his predicament. He doesn't complain about him being in jail. No, he's constantly referring to others. He's constantly having such a selfless attitude. It's a very selfless letter to these Christians in Philippi. I am going to give you the outline of the chapters. Chapter 1, I've given you this outline many times before, but it's such a great outline. It's by J. Sidlow Baxter. And here Paul reminds the Christians of Philippi that, number 1, chapter 1, he reminds them that Christ should be their life. In chapter 1, Christ should be their life. We see this in verse 21 when he says there in chapter 1, he says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Christ should be our life. Christ should be our life. He is the priority. He should sit on the throne of our hearts. He should sit on the throne of your heart. Christ, our life. And then number 2, chapter 2, Christ should be in our mind. So let this mind be in you, verse 6 says, verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, to have the mind of Christ. So not only should Christ be our life, but we should have the mind of Christ. And what is the mind of Christ? I believe it's pretty simplistic, and that is selflessness. Putting others in front of yourself, which is contrary to what the world teaches. It's contrary to what we are taught, the self-esteem movement in our society today, the humanistic philosophy of our society today says, no, take care of self and love yourself and put self as number one. But I can tell you, that is not what the Bible teaches. And of course, if you put Jesus first, if you put the Lord first, if you have the mind of Christ and you follow in His steps, you will have the proper view of yourself. Certainly, we don't want to, we're not in this part of Christianity which believes anything about beating oneself up. But at the same time, understand that Christ should be put in His proper place. And when Christ put in His proper place, then we will have the proper view of ourselves. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We should have the mind of Christ, and that is putting others in front of ourselves. Treating others as we would want to be treated. By the way, it's a cure for marriage problems. It's a cure for every relational problem you have. It's putting that person in front of you. Making them first. Putting them first. And then chapter 3, Christ should be our goal. Christ should be our goal. And that's our text this morning as we look at that, verse 13 and 14. This one thing I do. I got one thing to do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Christ is our goal. And boy, we spent a lot of time on that last year. Keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the goal. And then chapter 4, we have Christ, our strength. So, as we learned last year, as we promoted last year, as we talked about last year, as we preached last year, okay, we have all this pie in the sky ideal of what life should be like and what the Bible says life should be like, and how do we accomplish that? Well, we can't accomplish it on our own. We can't do that in our own strength. We can't follow in the steps of Jesus in our own strength, in our own power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the grace of God, that enabling strength that only He can give. We have to have it. We can't do it without it. Christ is our strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And every time I bring up this verse, I bring up the shirts when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I had a shirt that had a pole vaulter on it, and on the back it said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." That's such a ridiculous shirt. It has nothing to do with the context of this verse. It has nothing to do with this verse at all. This verse is not talking about that we can, run faster, be stronger physically. It's talking about the spiritual. Nothing to do with pole vaulting or running, running track or playing football or who's going to win. By the way, God doesn't care who wins the football game. He cares how you play it and the attitude in which you display during that game. But He doesn't care who wins and loses. Hello? No, when Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me," it's speaking about, again, attaining the goal of being like Jesus, the goal of walking in His steps, the goal of following Jesus. That's who strengthens us to do that. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ strengthens us. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. One thing, one thing, one goal. Again, last year's theme, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. One thing. What's one thing? Well, the one thing is to press on. To press on. To press toward the mark. That's the one thing. To forget those things which are behind. To press towards those things which are before us. That's the one thing. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that. Putting those things which are behind. Pressing towards those things which are before us. Going forward. Pressing on. See, we only have one person to please. I really don't have to please the congregation of Heritage Baptist Church. They're not the number one person. You are not the number one person people that I have to please. You really don't have to. The number one person you have to please is not your boss, or your spouse, or your kids. No. Number one person to please is Jesus Christ. And what's so great about that is if you will please Him, all the other things in your life will fall into place. Now, I'm not saying there won't be issues in those other things. I'm just saying if you will please the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will put Him first, if you will focus on Him, if He's the goal, then all the other things will fall in place. The book of Colossians says, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above. If we seek those things which are above and we set our affections on things that are above, then everything else and everyone else will fall into place. By that I mean all the priorities will fall in place. If Jesus Christ is the number one priority in your life and you're seeking Him and you're setting your affections on Him, if you put Him first in every decision, everything else, all the other priorities fall in place. Priorities seldom, rarely conflict in the Christian life. Because as we put Jesus Christ first, as we put Jesus above all, as we walk with Him, as we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Everything else falls in place. So if all you get from this sermon today is, if I will please Jesus, if I will seek to follow in His steps, if I will set my affections on things above, that all my other priorities fall in place. That's the sermon. I guess we can dismiss. How do we do this? How do we put this mark in front of us? Well, number one is to admit that we haven't attained. Paul admitted he hadn't attained. Verse 12. He says, not as though I'd already attained. One of the things we know that if you are going to solve a problem in life, you first off got to understand you have a problem. All of us have a sin problem. All of us have a selfishness problem. And so we are selfish by nature. And so I'm thankful I got saved when I was 6 years old. I'm thankful when I got saved, I received a new nature. I received a new want to. I have a new want to do right. But honestly, we all have that selfish nature. So Paul begins here by saying, I have not attained. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. When we're weak, the Bible says He is strong. So weakness is strength, according to the Bible. And understanding that we need the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need His strength, that we are not able to do this on our own. Says, not that I've already attained, either we're already perfect. That word perfect there means complete or mature. Understand that we are not mature, that we have not attained, that we are still on this path, that we're still on this road to glorification. We're still being sanctified, that the Lord is still working on us, that it's still me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That I still have issues with apathy. I still have issues with envy and other things in my life that I have not made it. I have not arrived. Paul wrote over half the New Testament. Paul went to the school taught by Jesus Christ Himself, and yet he had not attained. So who are we to think that we would ever attain until we see Him face to face? Our goal should, again, continue to be that we press on. Again, not that we've apprehended, but we're pressing forward. We're following after. We're following Jesus Christ, determined to be like Him, wanting to be like Him. I'm thankful that I was apprehended by the Lord one day, but now we must apprehend. We must move forward. Verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before." And we will take this verse and pick it apart later. But understand that in order to move forward, you've got to look forward. The devil, he's terrible. The devil loves to get you looking backward. He loves it. He loves to remind you of the stuff you've done. He loves it. He loves to remind you, hey, remember that skeleton you have there in your closet? Understand that I'm so thankful 1 John 1:9 exists, where the apostle said, if we confess our sin, He, Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As a Christian, as a son and as a daughter, as a child of God, when I confess my sins, John says, Jesus forgives it. And my Bible says that when He forgives us our sins, He forgets them. That's hard for us to comprehend. It really is, because in our minds, we can't do that. I can, when someone wrongs me, I can forgive them, but I don't forget it. But He forgets it. It's thrown as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. It's an amazing thought. It's an amazing thing. He forgets it. And so when Satan brings up your past, when Satan brings up the skeleton in your closet, it really is you having to make that decision to be reminded that that sin has been forgiven, that it's in the past, that we're not to live in the past, that we're to move forward, we're to press forward, we're to press toward the mark. We got to move past failure. You've got to move past that failure. You've got to move past that stumble that you made, that fall. You got to move past it, understanding that you've been forgiven, that it's washed under the blood of Jesus. It's never be remembered anymore, and go on to victory. Press on. Press on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Just keep on pressing on. Moving forward. We know as runners, as you run a race, you're taught by your coach not to look back. Don't look back. Quit hesitating. It only slows you down. Don't let the devil whisper in your ear. There are no perfect people. No perfect people. And I serve a God who's the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance, the sixth chance, the seventh chance. And he said we should forgive others 70 times 70. Well, if he tells us to forgive others 70 times 70, which basically what he's saying is that we should always be forgiving, no matter how many times that someone does something to us or no matter how many times it happens, we should forgive every time, every time, every time. And I'm telling you, if he teaches us to forgive that way, then there is zero doubt in my mind and zero doubt biblically, we know from the Bible, that he forgives us the same way. If you come down this morning to the altar and you confess your sin, guess what he's going to do? He's going to forgive you again. Well, preacher, I did that about 3 from 4 months ago and then I fell back into it. Well, come down to the altar again. He'll forgive you again. And don't let the devil whisper in your ear and say, well, you've already done that 3 or 4 times. God's not going to forgive you again. Yes, he will. He'll forgive you again. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark. I do love that statement. When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Just move past it. Somebody has said failure plus failure plus failure plus failure equals success, and it is true. You just got to keep pressing on. Focusing on the mark. Focusing on the one thing. The one person, Jesus Christ. Remembering that God works all things together for good. Remembering that focusing on Christ and keeping our life patterned after Him, that following in His steps and living the selfless life of Jesus Christ and being a blessing to others and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's the one thing. That's the one thing at home, with our kids, with our spouses, keeping the one thing. In business, whether you're running a business or working for someone, doing so in a way that pleases the Lord, that puts Him first. At work or at school, one thing to please Jesus. I gave you this quote before. We have that little quote we've quoted, you know, everybody's familiar with, that, He's the jack of all trades and the master of none. But that's not the actual quote. Benjamin Franklin's actual quote is, the jack of all trade and the master of one. That's the actual quote. I just need to master one. One thing. This one mind, Jesus Christ. Amen. One thing. One mark. One thing, and that is to glorify Him. Verses 15 and 16 give us the solution to that and how to keep the one thing, or pressing towards that mark. Let us therefore as many as be perfect or complete or mature be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God what? God shall reveal even this unto you. How does God do that? Does it through His Word. How does God perfect us? How does God mature us? Well, God does so through His Word. I'm looking forward to Brother House being here next Sunday morning. I enjoy Brother House preaching. I enjoy the way he can take the Scripture and just, yes. I'm looking forward to that. It conforms me. It molds me. The preaching of the Word of God. It does something. It changes me. The Word of God is powerful, sharp, quick. The Word of God conforms us. As Christians, we all have the same goal. Our course is laid out. We all face different challenges and different adversities. But we all have the same goal. As individuals, we have the same guide. As Christians, we have the same guide. As a church, we face difficulties. As a church, we face circumstances, but we have the same guide. This is our roadmap. I know maybe you get tired of hearing myself say it or Brother Wiggins say it from the pulpit, but this is the roadmap. This is how God matures us. This leads us to the one thing. This keeps the one thing in front of us. And may we as Christians be reminded every day when we pick up our Bibles, the one thing. You see the rule or the measuring tape, the rule or the rule of God's standard is the Word of God. D.L. Moody once said, a Bible that's falling apart is usually owned by somebody who's not. All these competing priorities in your life, all these competing priorities in my life will pull you apart if you don't stay in this. And be reminded every morning when you get up of the one thing. I don't necessarily have to please my boss. If I'll please Jesus, if I'll please the Lord, those priorities will fall in place. Amen. Just please the one person. Please the one person. Stay on track. Don't get off course. Don't look back. One thing. Let's all stand.